Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate that great job. Let's let our young people slip out to their service. Appreciate our workers again. First Chronicles chapter number 4 this morning. First Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to read three verses of Scripture, two verses actually. First Chronicles chapter 4. And if you'll stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Familiar passage, actually. These two verses are tucked in among verses that really speaks of the 12 tribes, the genealogies of the 12 tribes of Israel. And really, verse 9 shares with us the life of one individual that we know very little about. But the very little that we hear about in this passage just really tells us a great deal about this one person. We've entitled our message today, What Should We Pray? What Should We Pray? Verse 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, that is, his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez. She named him Jabez, saying, Because I bear or bore him with sorrow. Verse 10, And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested, that which he prayed. What should we pray is our message title today. Let's ask God's blessings on this time of his word. Lord, as we do come before you this morning, we want, God, your word to go forth in a manner that you'd be pleased today. Open our eyes, our ears, Lord, that we may see and listen and hear the things that you'd have us to know. And Father, I pray that we'd also make application to this message today, that you would speak to us, Lord, in a manner that, Lord, it would impact our lives, that we can be different than what we were when we came. If there is one today on the sound of my voice that's not a believer, has never accepted you as Savior, that they would open their heart to you today. But help all of us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God working among us. Now bless in this time as we preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, you can be seated. Alex is going to come and sing for us. And I know that you'll be blessed by this song, so you listen as she sings. Thank you, Alex. Wonderful message and song. She did a wonderful job on that as well. What should we pray? I don't know if you ever struggled with that thought sometimes, what should I pray? But obviously, as we read Jabez's prayer here, we see that there's a lot that we could probably relate to his prayer. Sometimes try to fashion our prayers in a way that comes across like Jabez prayed. Is obviously you want it to be genuine, you want it to be real, and what we read in his prayer, I don't know about you, but it really teaches us all how we should pray. Not really going to get into a lot about prayer this morning, although we will look at this passage. What I want to focus on some is what I believe is taking place here, and maybe it was taking place in Jabez's life. I have to believe it probably was. And I believe, like Jabez, we as Christians, we all have our comfort zones in life. You know, in other words, we are prone to be satisfied or relaxed with the way things are. I traveled this week to California, and I know that being from the South and being from Alabama, I love this part of the country, but that is a faster pace of life there. I don't know that I could live there permanently. Now, it's a great place to visit, but it is a faster pace of life, meaning that they don't relax that much. Like you would see folks in Alabama, we're kind of laid back. Matter of fact, I think that that's why when you go to a place like that as a Southerner, you're easily identified. And people know you're a Southerner, not necessarily by the way, well, I guess it is a lot of times by the way you speak, because we're accused sometimes of being lazy in our speech. Maybe we are, I don't know, but I like to look at it as more just relaxed. And I was going through the line to get connected to my flight out yesterday morning, and this real nice lady at the TSA. Normally those folks are uptight and you don't know how to take those people that you go through that where they want you to take your shoes off, and they're, you know, you're thinking they don't trust you when you walk up, you know, so you kind of almost like you feel like you got to convince them you're not a terrorist, you know. And so anyway, this lady, as soon as I approached her, she was really nice and kind. I mean, and just real sweet talking. I mean, as far as just making me feel like, okay, it's okay. You don't be uptight, you know, that sort of thing. And so I thanked her. I said, thank you for your demeanor. I said, you made me feel at ease. Matter of fact, I told her, I said, you made me feel like I was in Alabama. And so she kind of laughed at that a little bit. But you know, even, you know, no matter what part of the country you're in, or not, no matter what part of the world that we live in, as believers, we have to be careful, don't we, that we don't fall prey to becoming relaxed and too satisfied with the way things are around us. We all have to guard ourselves from that in life. I know I do personally, and we have to do that when it comes to as preachers in ministry and so forth. And that was why I shared earlier that with some of our men in Sunday school class, over 4,000 pastors came together this week, and every message was a motivational message, also a message that stepped on our toes. I mean, we had preachers that just kind of set us straight of how we need to be careful of not allowing ourselves to get comfortable in the pulpits, because we are to be the theologians. One pastor said that people need to have people that will preach to them the whole counsel, the Word of God, because we live in this day and time where everybody gets in their comfort zone, even pastors, and we all have to guard ourselves. Churches, we all have to be careful to be on guard of our comfort zone. Missionaries have to be on guard. Sunday school teachers have to be on guard. As Christians, don't we all have to be on guard against the comfort zones in our service for God? We all have to be. And I think that's what we're seeing here with Jabez and his life. And what we see pointed out here, the danger is that we may often find ourselves growing complacent and self-satisfied. And when that happens, we begin to grieve the heart of God. And then we're in danger of becoming like the Lord said about one church in particular that we're familiar with out of Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 22. And that's the church of Laodicea. Now, we don't have time to go back and look at that church, but many of us are familiar with the church of Laodicea. It was known as the lukewarm church. They were neither cold nor hot. Matter of fact, this church, they were so wrapped up into material things, and they, to the point that they did not even recognize their condition. Does that kind of sound like the times that we live in today? Sometimes our churches today, sometimes we're so wrapped up in the materialistic things of the world and the social medias and so forth that we're not even aware of our spiritual condition that we find ourselves in sometimes. This church of Laodicea, they were known to be a repulsive church to the Lord, and they were known to damaging God's purpose. And so they were not well spoken of by the Lord. And really, we see those type similarities in our day and time.
wonder what God would say about the churches of today in America today. Wonder what God would say as we personalize it, what God would say about Fountain City Baptist Church. I wonder what God would say about us individually. Would we be compared in any way to a church like Laodicea? I hope not. But to avoid this from becoming a reality, there's one thing that's missing a lot in our churches that really we need to get back to, and really I didn't prepare this message last night. I didn't prepare it on the airplane flying back because I've been at a conference. This message was prepared a week to 2 weeks out. So I don't want you to think, well, he got something that God just came back from. No, listen, this has been on my heart today, and that is that God would allow us to get back to what's really is not a reality in our churches much anymore of, and that's the matter of prayer. The matter of prayer. You know, to avoid the comfort zones in our life and to avoid the comfort zones of our local churches that we fall prey to, is that we need to get back to God in prayer. Much like we see here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez did not pray a long prayer, as you can see here. But what he prayed was powerful. And you see, for us to know what we should pray, and sometimes that's the difficulty. Somebody asked me, they said, "Preacher, I want to pray, but what do I pray? How do I correlate my prayer life and go about praying?" Let's just look, first of all, at the life of Jabez. We don't know much about Jabez's life. So as we take, first of all, and let's look at the place in history that Jabez was at. We need to consider the genealogies that we see around him. Again, if you go back and you start reading chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 1, you'll kind of get wrapped up in some genealogies that's laid out, and some of these would not interest you because you don't know anything about these people. And you say, well, why are they there? Well, God has a purpose for it, and they're 12 tribes of Israel, of course, and we can learn from these various ones, but really, you know, some of them are only mentioned one time. Their name is only mentioned one time, and there may be a reason for that. Maybe they didn't do anything in life. Maybe they were just there, but yet as we consider the genealogies, we find often many places in Scripture where they're really seemingly endless list of names. And it's sad to think that multitudes are listed, and all that is said about them is that the fact that they lived. They were born, they lived, they begat sons, they begat daughters, and they died, the Bible says. But however, that is the truth about life in general, about many in life in general. You know, there's a lot of people that go through life and they don't make a mark on life at all. And that's not to say that we have to be in the limelight of things to make a mark, but yet we all should strive to want to really make some kind of impact in some form or fashion in the lives of those that God allows us to impact, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a missionary or whether it's just working as a servant within the local church. Hopefully when we leave this place one day, maybe it can be said that we've made an indelible mark, not just temporarily, but for eternity. That ought to be our goal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we consider the genealogies here, what about us? 10 years after our death, we have mattered that we have lived. Think about it. 10 years down the road, would it have mattered that you'd have lived in some folks' eyes? Maybe family, I'm sure it will be. But what about those that maybe you have had the opportunity to impact along the way? Are we simply, on the list of some obscure genealogy of a record? But it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. We don't have to be on the list of genealogies that nobody knows about. You know, we can make an impact in our world around us, in our families, yes, first and foremost. We can make an impact upon the people that we work around, young people you go to school with, It's just a number of ways that we ought to be determined that, hey, I'm not just going to be a name in a list of genealogies, that I want to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, Jabez's name stood out from among those that were not well known, right? You go back and you read in chapter 4, and you get down to about verse 8, and by the time you get down to verse 8 and you struggle to even try to figure out how to say these names, you're somewhat bored, maybe, until you get to verse 9 and 10. And all of a sudden, this guy by the name of Jabez jumps out at you a little bit. By the way, Jabez was not a great prophet or preacher, just to give you a little background on him. Jabez was not a wise ruler that we know of over a great nation. And he was not famous on the field of battle that we know of. But Jabez was remembered by one thing, and that was the way he prayed. Not just the way he prayed, but the prayer that he prayed. And, you know, you think, well, how significant is that? Well, we have to understand the significance of it. We need to look at his prayer. God said he was a man that was honorable in verse 9 than his brethren, that is, his own brothers. Now, that's a positive thing, right? Out of all his brothers, God recognized him as the most honorable. Now, the word honorable, if you looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, all of us would like to have that title, right? But just Webster's Dictionary alone says the word honorable is defined by being honest, moral, ethical, principled, righteous, righteous-minded, good, virtuous, upright, and decent. And it, matter of fact, it just goes on and on. There's more to that word honorable. I didn't give you but probably half of it. Now, how many of you would say, boy, I'd like to have that title. I'd like to be known as honorable. I'd like to have all these characteristics about that put on me that said that, boy, that was he or she lived an honest life, a moral life, an ethical life, a life that's righteous and decent. But that's man's definition of what honorable is. That's not God's definition. God's definition is far greater than that. Yeah, honorable means all that, but when for God to say this about Jabez was enough said about the character of the man of God. In other words, you don't have to go look up honorable in the dictionary if God says this was an honorable man. If God says that Jabez was honorable, you don't have to see what Webster says about honorable to find out. If God said it, that's enough. Man, that's all we need to know. If God says that you've been honorable, for God to say that, boy, that makes you fall on your knees. God says Jabez was an honorable man. God said that. Now, I don't have to know anything about Jabez. I don't have to go any further to study his life to know that in God's eyes, Jabez was an honorable man. That tells me a lot about who Jabez was. Now, was Jabez a sinner like all of us? Sure he was. He was not perfect in any way. But God says Jabez was an honorable man. So, as we think about his prayer, it makes you now want to know what he prayed and why he prayed it, right? It says in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. Now, we don't have time to go into all that, but that's not speak bad on Jabez. He couldn't help that. Maybe. Maybe he caused some problems growing up as a teenager. Whatever. I don't know. But verse 10, after hearing what God says that Jabez is honorable, makes me want to know what he prayed. And boy, can I be like that? Can my prayer life be like that? So I want to look at Jabez's prayer this morning. What should we pray? First of all, we find that he prayed for what? Verse 10 says he prayed for spiritual prosperity. Look in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." You see that? That's the first part as we look at that first part of his prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now, we might conclude that he was not satisfied with his life. In other words, the status quo of his life. He wanted God's blessings upon his life. You ever find yourself like that? You find yourself in the comfort zone of life, the status quo of life, and you've kind of hit that plateau and you're wondering how much further can I go? Kind of, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul says that that he was still working toward that prize of the high calling of God. Not for salvation's sake, but for, no doubt, for God to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," as we all want to be. But, you know, we all have to know that we never get to a point in our Christian life to where we think, "Well, I've attained. You know, I go to church every Sunday, I read my Bible, I pray, I'm serving in the church, so I must have, this is as far as I can go." Is it? Really? If that's the case, then we're at a point in our life where we would call that maybe our comfort zone of life. We're kindly satisfied. We're kindly at a point where it's dangerous. And I believe that Jabez was satisfied. He was not satisfied, excuse me, with the status quo. He wanted God's blessings upon his life. He wanted God the spiritual prosperity. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He recognized that what was most important in his life. And what was it? He needed God's blessings. He wanted God's blessings. And sometimes, church, if we're honest, we're guilty of putting other things ahead of God, aren't we? Sometimes we're guilty of that. And sometimes by putting other things ahead of God, we get to that point where we become dissatisfied with the blessings of God. And Jabez, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now here's a man that's honorable. Here's a man that really you think, well, he didn't have to pray that way. God already says he was honorable. But yet, that goes to show you, we never get to that point, no matter how honorable we may be in God's eyes, how righteous we may be, how decent we may be, we still should be seeking God's blessings and prosperity in life. Now, he wanted the richest, fullest blessings from God. Is that what we want? Now, we're not talking about money. He was not seeking money. I don't believe that. He was not seeking fame or possessions here, though they may come, and I believe that when we're faithful to God, God does take care of his children, and the blessings come. Sometimes, yes, in the way of financial blessings or possessions, sometimes along that way. But that's not what he was praying about. We're talking about he was seeking God's best. We have to ask ourselves, are we seeking God's best for our lives? Are we? When we're thinking about praying that prayer of spiritual prosperity, it's not what we want, but it's all what God wants for our lives. God's best for our life may not be that God wants us to have this job that we're seeking after, or this vehicle, or this home, or whatever. All that may come, but that I would sacrifice all these things for your best. Spiritual prosperity. That's what Jabez was praying. Not putting others ahead of God. But he wanted God to bless him. And he says, "Bless me indeed." Can you feel his prayer? The heart that he was pouring out there to God? He goes on to say, as he prayed not only for spiritual prosperity, but number two, he prayed for widened horizons. He prayed for widened horizons. We know that by what he says in verse 10. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And he says, "Enlarge my coast." That phrase, "enlarge my coast," he's just really talking about the borders. Enlarge my coast. Not just that is from within. He didn't want to stay in the comfort zone of his own circle of life, but he wanted God to enlarge his coast. The word enlarge means simply to make larger, to extend in limits or dimensions, to extend to more purposes or uses. In other words, sometimes we get so comfortable in where we're at in life, we can't see God using us in other aspects of our life. Yeah, we may be doing some things around the church, and we think, well, I've got my job, I'm doing my job, and maybe you've been doing it for 10 years, but it may be that God would want you to expand your coast a little bit. Maybe there's other avenues that God would have you to, yes, do that same job, but to be willing to expand outward a little bit more for God. And I'll let you fill in the blanks. God is not asking us to take on things that He doesn't equip us to do. But we shouldn't be so focused on one thing or doing one thing for God that we think that that's it. I'm going to be satisfied with that. And by the way, we should be content and satisfied with where God places us in life and do our very best. But yet, like Jabez, pray, God, enlarge my coast. He didn't want to stay just in the comfort zone of life. He was praying for God to extend the borders, extend him to the limits or dimensions of life to allow God's purposes and uses to continue on, not just in that one area of his life, but to be spread out. Not in some small way, but in a great way. Some people say, well, I just want to be used of God just in some small way. Really? Now that sounds humbling. I mean, we say it like that. We're trying to be humble by that statement, but do we really want to be used of God in just some small way? No. Really, we ought to be praying, God, use me in a great way. A great way. Not that I have to be on television. You know, I never aspire to be on television. I've been around TV preachers. Jerry Falwell had a television. Doc Falwell, excuse me. He was on television a lot. He brought in preachers that was on television a lot. I never aspired to be that. As any preacher, you aspire to preach to a large congregation, and I didn't know what that would be, but, you know, I filled out a form the other day. Somebody asked how many we have in our church attendance estimate, and I filled out the number. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, sometimes we, but you know what? If we were just had an idea that, hey, we want to preach to our group and no more, we wouldn't reach our community for Christ, right? Our coast involves more than just Fountain City Baptist Church. Matter of fact, can you imagine if we had the attitude as a church that we just want to be a church with no outreach in our community or around the world? If we had that attitude, not only would we be limiting our dimensions as a church or as a Sunday school teacher or individual, but we would not be fulfilling God's purpose as a local church, and therefore the blessings of God would be removed. Let's just take, for instance, if we decided in a vote of a congregational vote and says, hey, we're going to cut off missions from our church and we're going to do away with the 50 or so missionaries that we support financially, and we're just going to put all that money that we're, first of all, that money wouldn't be there. Right? Many are giving sacrificially to missions. Well, we're not giving to missions. You're not going to put it in the local church. That's a sacrificial offering. So first of all, that money wouldn't be there. Some people try to use that logic. But just say we cut off missions, and we're going to just focus on our town. Now that sounds good, that sounds spiritual, but yet we're just going to have our coast. We're not going to enlarge the dimensions at all. We're just going to stay focused on the small area that we're in and just no longer pray for missionaries, support missionaries. Can you imagine what that would do? First of all, we'd be cutting off the purpose that God has for us as a local church. Acts 1:8 tells us we're not only to reach our Jerusalem, but the surrounding areas. Yes, and then the other parts of the world, as I paraphrase. And so we not only cut off God's purpose, but also we'll cut off God's blessings immediately. And can we still function as a church? Yeah, we'd be gathering. We could pretend like we're doing all the right things. But yet we would not be enlarging our coast. Jabez prayed. He prayed God to widen his horizons. The word coast here is used to refer to boundaries or borders. His desire was to reach out beyond himself and to expand the sphere of his influence. Jabez was just one man, but can you imagine what God can do with somebody whose heart is set out and set apart for God? Can you imagine if we get people in our churches like that, in Sunday school classes, that's how churches have grown over the years. God took 12 men of God called the disciples. How do you think the church started? It started with those 12 men. I thought preachers started with at Pentecost. No, it started with those 12 men. And off those 12 men came the church at Pentecost. And over 3,000 souls were saved in one day because 12 men decided they were going to follow God. That's what a disciple is, right? A follower of Christ. And so Christ, like he teaches us, we're to take our life and put it into others' life. Be a disciple of others to enlarge our coast. Now, you know, it sounds good to think, well, we've got us few and no more. But boy, can you imagine what our church would be like if when my wife and I came here 28 years ago, 27, 28, somewhere along that way. She corrects me sometimes because I get confused. But anyway, we had about 15 people. 15 people. And you know, be honest with you, I wasn't satisfied with that. Because I didn't think that's what God wants, where God wants to. We could have had 15 people, and we did for a while. But through prayer and God's people coming together and working and going out, knocking on doors, we've seen God bless over the years. Now, if we could have kept everybody who's come through here that's moved off, then we'd have to have another auditorium. But God had taken 15 people back when we came, because the church doors were almost closed. Almost closed. And a young preacher who didn't know anything about pastoring, God allowed me to pray something very similar here. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't pray enlarge my coast. I just knew that God wanted us to be bigger. And the way you become bigger, not number-wise, but spiritually, is you got to work at it. You got to pray. That's where it starts. And we had prayer meetings, and we came together, and we began to pray that God would just help us to grow as a church, not necessarily numerically, but spiritually. And that's where it started. For 2 years, we hardly saw any growth in this church. But after a period of about 2 years, we started seeing the church begin to grow in number and spiritual growth. But it took prayer, seeking God's face. Now, that's the way it happens when it comes to growing a ministry for God. And people have been impacted through this local church and others are around this country because of the same way of praying here. So that's why I encourage you, let's have our prayer life like Jabez, that we want God to enlarge our coast. Thirdly, he prayed that the hand of God would be with him, right? He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." And what does he say? The next part of his prayer, "And that thine hand might be with me." We don't want to do anything or try to accomplish anything without God's hands of approval on it, right? And that's what he was praying. The Hebrew word that is used here for the word hand, it means an open hand. The idea of an open hand indicating that he was seeking God's power, that he was seeking the means and the direction from God. What could we accomplish today as a church without the power of God upon our lives? Nothing. So like Jabez, we need to be praying with open hands, pleading God for God's blessings of direction when it comes to his power and the way to go about doing his will and God give direction. But we need God's power, don't we? Jabez prayed that God's open hand of direction and power will be upon him. Sometimes we pray selfishly, don't we? Sometimes we pray thinking, well, God, you know, I want you to give me this or give me that, when really we cannot accomplish anything without the power of God upon our life. You try raising kids today or anytime. Listen, as a parent, you need to be praying, God, give me the power, the ability to raise my kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give me the means, the direction to raise my kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That praying with that open hand with God, he prayed that the hand of God would be with him, that open hand of power and means and direction. What a comfort to know that God is there with an open hand to take our lives and lift us up when we're down and encourage us when we're weak. But like Jabez, we must daily seek God's face. Daily seek God's face. This is not, you can be assured that Jabez being an honorable man, this was not a one-time prayer meeting that he had with God. I believe that Jabez had many prayer meetings with God. I believe that. To be honorable, he had to be known as being righteous. And I'm sure there are many times, but there was a time in his life, maybe, and I'm not sure if it's this going on right now, but maybe he had his comfort zone of life. And we all are capable of doing that. To where we forget that we need the hand of God upon our life, the power of God upon our life to be successful in whatever we set out to do, whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a missionary, a pastor, a local church, or just a servant in the ministry of God. We need God's power. And then fourthly, he prayed for deliverance. Deliverance from what? Sin. Jabez was a sinner. Look, if you would, in verse 10. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Now, as good of a man as Jabez must have been, Jabez was aware of the power of evil and the fact that God could deliver him from it. We need to constantly, church, no matter how far we may be in our life, our Christian life, spiritually speaking, no matter how old we may be. Listen, if you're 100 years old here today, nobody is that I know of, you're a sinner. And you still battle with sin. Just because we get older in life, don't think that, boy, sin begins to drop off after a period of time. It doesn't. We battle with the same temptations and desires of the flesh that sometimes younger people battle with. They may be different, come at us in different ways, but evil and temptation are all around us. But where would we be without the grace of God? Jabez was aware of the power of evil, and he prayed God would deliver him from that. Keep me from it. That's what he's praying. God, keep me from evil. Keep me from the temptation of sin. Perhaps he had witnessed others who were grieved over the result of sin in their lives. Often we see that in others' lives. Sometimes people that we love, family members and friends, and we grieve over the fact that they're caught up into sin, and we don't want to ever be like that. We should be praying like Jabez, God, keep me from that. Not that I'm better than they are, but God, keep me from that. You ever find yourself doing that sometime? You see somebody that's caught up into something that, boy, you're thankful that God's grace or protection was over you, but you know what? If it were not for God's grace and protection over you, you may be in the same ditch that they're in when it comes to sin. God, keep me from sin. Keep me from evil. That's what he prayed. Whatever the reason that Jabez prayed here and he sought God, whatever the reason he prayed, we have to know he sought God's help in this matter as well. Oh, we need to pray that way. In verse 10, we find something that closes out verse 10. It's very powerful. Something we can learn from Jabez's prayer. And what is it? It says, "And God granted him that which he," what? "He requested." God granted him that which he prayed. You believe that God is a God that answers prayer? I believe he is. And if we are like Jabez and we come to God with the hard attitude of praying and we're seeking God's face and we really mean it, thank God he answers our prayers. Maybe sometimes not in the way that we want, but what Jabez prayed here, it was no selfish prayer. If you'll notice that. He didn't ask ask God for more money. He didn't ask God for more possessions. It was about none of those things. Not that those things are wrong to pray about from time to time. But yet in this case, Jabez, he realized that, hey, he needed to have a closer walk with God, because he was at a point in his life maybe where the comfort zone of life had taken over. Maybe that's you this morning. So in closing, what is the application real quickly? What should we do with this prayer? First of all, individually, we must ask, are we satisfied with the comfort zone in our life? As we look at Jabez's prayer, we must ask, are we satisfied with the comfort zone in our life? That's not on the screen, but that's one way to make application. You know, I'm sure many of you would say after hearing this and reading Jabez's prayer that, no, I'm not satisfied. I would hope you wouldn't be satisfied. Because you see, if you are satisfied, yes, there is safety in staying within the boundaries that we know. As I said, I don't like going out to California to live, but I'm sure, I'm, you know, I like my safety net. I like when I get home, don't you? I like when you can close the door and the world out, and you just, but you know what? If we stayed inside all the time, we'd never really experience what God has for us on the outside. And we'd never be able to know how God can use us. So it's best that we enlarge our coast, our boundaries, and get out of our comfort zone. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, preacher, I can stay at home and get church just as much, turn on that television. No, you can't. The devil is so good. Listen, I need to get out of my comfort zone and go to church and to worship God openly with God's people. And boy, I enjoy the fellowship and the comfort that I get from that. You know, but if we stayed within our comfort zones of life, really, we would not enjoy what God would have for us in this life. And we would obviously not only, and that's not the main reason we do it, but hopefully I want to be used greater for God. Comfort zone. That's why it's called comfort zone. Because it's comfortable. So let me ask you, are you growing complacent? Jabez, I believe, felt like he was growing a little bit complacent. If we feel like we are, may we each receive the challenge from the testimony we've read here about Jabez's life. Let's be mindful to pray that God would truly bless us with great spiritual prosperity, that He would widen our horizons, that His hand would be upon us, and that He would keep us from evil. And as a church, we must ask, are we satisfied in our comfort zone as a church? May we receive the challenge that God has given us this morning from His Word, to ask God to help our church to see more souls saved this year. Oh, Lord, help us to see more people come to Christ in 2016. That ought to be part of our prayer life as a church. Help us to, as believers, to see more families added to our church family. We've had some wonderful families added to our church in the last couple of years. And you know what? I wouldn't want to see one of them leave our church or for any reason. What a blessing it is to get to know some of these families that God has added to our church and to grow together in the Lord. Can you imagine what maybe this year would be like if we'd find ourselves praying, God, would you continue to add to our church new families this year? If we've enjoyed these families this year, wouldn't it be great to just know that, boy, God has others out there. God has people who will step up and be willing to serve and to be used of God. Not that we might be lifted up in pride, but that God might be glorified. That's why we ask God to do these things. Not that we can say, well, we're the largest church in town, that, you know, or we're bigger than they are, or, you know, whatever, and we do this or we do that. No, it's so that God can be glorified. When people get saved, God's glorified. When people are added to the church, God's glorified. When there are more people that are able to give to the outreach of the church, the missions and so forth, God's glorified. That's why we pray that. More ministries, more workers, more fruit, more work. Well, we ask God to get done till Jesus comes. And you know what? He hadn't come yet. So there's still work to be done. We have a great opportunity in our community to make a difference for Christ, don't we? Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow. Some of you have opportunities to share Christ. Some of you have, we all have opportunities to live for Christ. May it be that God would enlarge the coast of our life to live for Him in a greater way. Some of you teenagers that go in your school, that's your mission field. You're missionaries. You are. We all are. May God help us to enlarge our coast to see ourselves being a great, good witness for God. May God help us not to get comfortable and lose sight of what God has called us to do. God granted Jabez that which he requested. And you know what? God will do the same for us. Let's all stand and pray.